Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Weed is legal in Canada this fall, but brands have been preparing us for months. You've seen the ads. Weed can ease your chronic pain, quell your anxiety, even cure your insomnia. But there's a noticeable shift in the way the drug is being sold to women specifically. Traditionally associated with the giggling, snack-guzzling space cadet stereotype, marketers have begun to peddle pot as a lady's key to wellness. A way to shape up and ship out, all the while managing that ever-present work-life balance. Will weed be embraced with open arms in Canada like it has elsewhere? Does weed actually have positive health benefits? Does it need to, or can we just get high for the sake of getting high? I'm Megan Coley, associate editor of this podcast, and this is The Big Story.
For those of us who have smoked pot in our past, the thing about it is we have no idea what it is. You know, we don't know where it came from. Mm-hmm. We don't really know what's in it. We don't know how much we're consuming when we inhale.
Carly Fortune is the editor-in-chief of Chatelaine magazine. She's also a working mom with a kid at home. And like many, she often reaches for a glass of rosé at the end of a long day. She recently flew to the epicenter of weed, California, to learn more about what legal weed could look like in Canada. And she even tried trading in her evening tipsy for a quick toke. So you were given this really interesting assignment for Chatelaine. It was to go to California and try weed. But you don't smoke weed.
No, I don't. Yeah. So we've been noticing all these cannabis brands launching, really targeting women and really targeting women in like a health and wellness way. And I got this invite to go and try a particular brand's newish to us anyway product in California. And we just thought, oh, this is such a good experience to like good opportunity to see what it's like to try weed again for somebody who hasn't used it in years since their 20s. And is it any different? Because it all the like marketing hype around it makes it sound like the best thing since sliced bread. And right. Is that really the case? So my assignment was to kind of see what was up with this new world of weed.
And in a word, is it different?
Yeah. So marijuana has been legal in California since January. And in that short time, it's already kind of developed a signature Cali vibe around the drug. And that very much is about health and wellness and also kind of luxury and style, which is not surprising given what we think of in terms of California. So you would find there like organic and pesticide-free cannabis products. And you would find edibles that were made with dates and dried fruit rather than gummies and chocolate. So it has a bit more of a refined vibe. And there are really like high-end luxury products. So, you know, vaporizers made with rose gold that cost hundreds of dollars. So kind of different from what we think of when we think of marijuana.
When you were in California, where did you try weed? Was it in public?
Yeah. So when I went to California, I went on a press trip with a company called Dosist, which makes vaporizers. So these are vaporizers that come loaded with marijuana concentrate in different formulas. And you can use them wherever you are in the city. And part of this trip was experiencing this product. So, you know, the group could try it outside a restaurant or at a hotel beside the pool. Because the product is quite discreet, you wouldn't feel like you were doing something illicit or obvious. It's a very different kind of experience than, you know, sneaking a joint in a back alley behind a bar like you did in your 20s.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. So my personal history with marijuana is not a good one. I don't like the drug. You know, I used it in my 20s now and then, and I really don't like being high. It's just like not an experience I enjoy. I find it gives me massive anxiety and my heart would race.
I think that's a common experience.
Yeah, yeah. You hear that a lot from people that, you know, I tried it when it was young. It wasn't for me. And that was certainly my experience. I had a really bad experience with a weed brownie when I was 30. So I just stopped altogether. And when I was on, I was quite nervous when I went on this trip because I was, you know, really curious to see what this kind of like new product would be like. Is it any different from that experience of my 20s? But, you know, it's like in a city that I don't really know with people that I don't really know. And there was nothing to be worried about, really, because this particular product and a lot of the products out there are just like so far from joints that you had in your 20s. First of all, this particular vaporizer is dosed. So when you inhale, the vaporizer vibrates. So it tells you when you've had a dose. And a dose is really small. It's 2.25 milligrams, which is known as a microdose. And the idea with this product is that it's not for getting high. It's not to make you intoxicated. And that's kind of the sell. This company is really positioning this product as something to enhance your life. So it comes in six formulas. So there's one called Sleep to help you sleep. There's one called Arouse to help with your sex drive. There's one called Relief to help with aches and pains. It is not for people who like to get really high. So for somebody like myself who, you know, maybe wants to just relax a little bit, that's really what it's for. It's not for getting stoned and sitting in your basement and watching Netflix and eating cheesies.
So is this signaling kind of a new wave form of weed, like a weed 2.0?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many interesting things that are happening, and you see them happening in places like California in terms of looking at, you know, companies and brands looking at the drug as not necessarily as a recreational tool, but as something for particularly women to work into their health and wellness regimes. So it's really being positioned as kind of like a wonder drug for women. So, you know, that could mean something to help you with your cramps. It could mean something to help you relax after work. And, you know, the research shows that women are really interested in how marijuana can help them with things like stress and sleep and sex drive. And it's kind of a whole new ball game, I think. It's going to look, and maybe not on October 17th, but I think in the months and years to come, I think it's going to look really different from how we think of pot.
You hear a lot about this sort of pinking of pot, particularly with marketing being targeted directly at women. You know, when I smoke weed, I really just want to chill out. It's actually a form of escapism. So I'm not thinking about my career or my, you know, the various things that I'm stressed about on the day to day.
Yeah, I think that health and wellness is it's interpreted really broadly. It's such a weird trend, but it can mean, I think brands are looking at it to mean anything from helping you relax to enjoying a night with your girlfriends to creating intimacy with your partner.
Right.
So I think that there's a lot of ways that health and wellness will be interpreted. But I think, you know, what's interesting when you look at a lot of the language around women and weed and how it's being positioned, you do see this idea of like self-improvement. Like this will make you better. So you'll be a better partner. It'll help you if you want to focus. It'll help you focus on work so you can be a better worker. Mm-hmm. And I think that idea of using it as like a self-optimization aid is probably not something we're going to see with marketing the drug to men. That's my guess anyway.
So when you got back to Canada, what was it like going back to street pot?
Yeah, so I was really curious when I came home to see whether you could kind of like replicate that experience of just having like a little bit of marijuana to make you feel relaxed. That's not my experience in the past. So I wanted to see if like you could just have one puff and
dose yourself.
Yeah. I found some old marijuana and rolled it into a really bad joint and snuck outside to try to stay away from my neighbor's view and took two little puffs, coughed, it smelled terrible, ran inside, and I immediately felt awful. My husband's voice sounded so loud.
Oh, no.
I just felt so anxious.
Right.
And my heart was racing. And that was from having very, very little. And, you know, the thing about the pot, we've all, for those of us who have smoked pot in our past, the thing about it is we have no idea what it is. You know, we don't really know. We don't know where it came from. Mm-hmm. We don't really know what's in it. We don't know how much we're consuming when we inhale. So it's really, really hard to regulate. And so I didn't really have any luck with my little joint experience at all.
So you hear a lot about what cannabis can do for your health.
Yeah.
And especially as it's becoming legal, a lot of people promoting it, as you say, to help with cramps or, you know, joint pain, kind of like those run-of-the-mill sort of problems people have. Can it actually help your health?
I think that is such a personal question for a lot of cannabis users. You know, the medical researchers, the claims on both sides, the pro-pot and anti-pot side, are both so extreme. And we don't really know that much about how marijuana affects us in the long term. The medical researcher I spoke with said, you know, there is some evidence to show that it can help with pain, like lower back pain. But other than that, there's not much medical research for us to go in terms of how it can improve or harm our health. We don't really know much. This person I spoke with felt that in terms of using it to treat anxiety disorders or depression, it was a bad idea to do that without talking to doctors or trying CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. But, you know, there are plenty of people who feel like it's been really helpful for them. You know, if smoking a joint makes you feel more relaxed and if you feel it helps improve the quality of your life, is that improving your health? That's not for me to say.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's really a personal journey, I guess.
I think so. I think, you know, healthcare professionals would advise against smoking 20 joints a day.
Yeah.
They advise against using products high in THC, that products with CBD are a better idea. And I think everybody, you know, even people in the cannabis community would say, if you're going to try it, start really on a low, low, low dose and go really slow.
Okay.
Don't overdo it.
I want to talk a little bit about the difference between alcohol and cannabis,
mm-hmm.
because obviously alcohol's been legal for, I mean, long before I was born, but I'm interested to know if cannabis will eventually look like alcohol, like we'll be able to order it when we're getting dinner or things like that. And I'm especially interested about the whole sort of meme with alcohol and moms.
Yeah.
There's this running joke that moms need alcohol to survive.
Yeah, the wine mom.
Yeah, the wine mom. But we know alcohol is bad for you. Do you think weed will ever be as widely accepted?
I don't know. I think there is a lot of stigma around using pot, especially for moms, especially for people of color. I think that, I mean, I can't say whether it will ever be as socially accepted. Perhaps, you know, I think we'll see a lot of change. I think as more people start talking about their own experiences after legalization, you know, there'll be some perspectives that shift. Mm-hmm. But yeah, one of the interesting things I realized when I talked to a lot of cannabis marketers was just how frustrated they were with the messaging around alcohol, especially with how alcohol is talked about in regards to moms, like this why mom thing, and how it's socially accepted to, you know, have a glass of rosé and I have a favorite meme, which is something like boxed wine is just a juice box for mom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, this idea, like the wine is so pushed on moms and that's considered okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of a mom who, you know, takes a little bit of CBD oil is still like, there's so much stigma around that and that really frustrates them. And I, you know, who's to say whether that will change?
Do you yourself feel that stigma being a mom?
Well, I'm not really a big user. I tried pot again for this piece. It's not really a big part of my life. you know, we could have this conversation again in the fall and maybe that will change. I'm not sure. But I felt comfortable writing this piece in a national publication. I think that says a lot about the privilege I have to write about using an illegal substance, although it wasn't a really fun conversation with my mother.
Yeah, I can only imagine how that went.
Carly Fortune, the editor-in-chief of Chatelaine magazine. And that was The Big Story. For more, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Big Story Podcast. And of course, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And please rate and review. I'm Megan Coley. Thanks for listening.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.